You are tuned in to 89.1 KHOL. This is Brennan here with you. And this is one of my new reoccurring features I'm doing with the Jackson Hole News and Guide. Each Friday, we're kind of diving deeper into one of the stories published in the Wednesday Jackson Hole News and Guide publication. Today, I'm joined by the environmental reporter at the News and Guide, Mike Cashmerel. His latest article is titled, No Clear Answer for Elk. Mike, thank you for joining me today at KHOL.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so since this is your first time here in the station, I was wondering if you could introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them what you do as the environmental reporter at the News and Guide.
So for the last 5 years, I've had the fortune of covering Grand Teton National Park, Yellowstone Park, the Bridger Teton National Forest, and the National Elk Refuge, as well as an array of land use and wildlife issues on the periphery of those lands.
And that often brings you out on the field.
It does, yeah. Even later today, I get to go out into the field with a wolf biologist. I love my job.
So how did the story unfold that was published this week in the News and Guide?
So the roots of it kind of trace back to a study that National Elk Refuge biologist Eric Cole headed up. It came out about 3 years ago, and what it did is it quantified how the Jackson elk herd, which are those are the elk that gather on the refuge every winter, how the herd has changed over time. So where they go in the summer is in flux. And among his findings was that the elk that go to the mostly developed land between Moose and Wilson had increased from about 3% of the herd in the 70s to 36%. And this was about 3 years ago, and it's still at about in the 30s.
Just to get a little bit of an idea, a picture painted, can we talk about the typical migration route for elk when they travel north from the refuge?
Elk kind of fan out in a lot of different directions. Some of them go up the Gros Ventre River into the mountains there. Others go into the northern part of Grand Teton National Park. Others go into the Teton Wilderness south of Yellowstone National Park, and some make it all the way to Yellowstone. The ones that go the furthest have, over time, declined a little bit, especially the ones that go all the way to Yellowstone. However, these elk that tend to live in this developed ranchland subdivision-dominated area between Moose and Wilson, what they tend to do, my understanding, is kind of cross over the highway in the vicinity of the Gros Ventre River. And there's a few kind of narrow routes that they can take that actually cut right through people's ranches that get them down to the more viable, longer-term habitat, like along the Snake River and beyond.
Yeah, and as we're talking about these short-distance migrant elk, there has been an ongoing debate about fencing migration corridors.
Yeah, so the county right now is in the throes of redoing the land development regulations for natural resources. And that's one of the things they're trying to address. There was kind of a lot of noise about one particular fence line on the Serenity Ranch. And I was actually able to go out with the ranch manager. His name is Lewis Leslie. And we looked at the area where he wants to have a higher fence. He says mostly to prevent elk from damaging it because his cattle have been getting out, and it tends to be in this spot where there is a usually agricultural land. They're exempted from fence height limits, but in this instance, there was an agreement reached where he could develop that portion of the land, or the landowner, Glenn Doshea, could develop that portion of the land. And so he is barred from raising the fence there.
Yeah, and you spoke to ranchers like Leslie and then other ranchers in the area. And from what I gathered from your story is that it can be stressful to manage both wild and domestic animals on your land. What are some of these frustrations that you heard from local ranchers?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely say they're not frustrated necessarily with the fact that just elk exist in the area, but they perceive that there are far too many elk in that area. And indeed, they have increased, you know, tenfold in the last 40 years. They struggle keeping elk away from cattle, which is very important in this area because elk can give cattle a disease called brucellosis. And if a herd of cattle gets brucellosis, there's pretty dramatic steps that a rancher has to take to ensure that all of the cattle that have brucellosis are killed and not sent to market.
And sometimes these migrating elk are eating the rancher's hay before it's ready to be harvested?
Correct, yeah. So, and the state is actually liable. They're on the hook for that. And so if an elk herd is just living off of a rancher's hay field, it costs the Wyoming Game and Fish Department money.
If you're just joining me, you're catching one of my latest weekly features. Each Friday, I'm sitting down with a reporter from the Jackson Hole News and Guide to dive deeper into a story that was published this week in the Wednesday publication of the Jackson Hole News and Guide. This week, I'm sitting down with the environmental reporter, Mike Cashmerel, and we are discussing his latest article titled, No Clear Answer for Elk. Now, Mike, I know you already touched on this in our conversation, but these, as you called them in your story, these lowland elk, they're increasing rapidly and they're increasing 2 times faster than mountain dwelling elk. I'm wondering what is being done to combat this issue?
So the main tool that managers have is really hunting. You know, that's the thing that they have the most control over that can control the size of a population. And so there is the most aggressive hunting seasons that you see in Jackson Hole are in this area. Actually, you can, you know, walk into Stone Drug and buy an elk license in August and start hunting on August 15th if you have permission from a landowner in this area and hunt all the way through until the end of January.
There's that kind of sub issue that you mentioned in your story of, you know, some hunters choosing to trophy hunt.
Yeah, that's a particular frustration for ranchers. A lot of people, I think, are just out there trying to, you know, harvest a smaller bull or a cow or anything that can feed them. I think some people buy that tag as an insurance tag, so they'll hunt in the earlier in the fall, and then if they don't get one, they'll get one through this late season tag. But yeah, I talked to a number of people who were frustrated with people. Because the intention of the hunt is to harvest cows and calves, which would dictate the size of that herd. But there is the option of shooting a bull late in the season there. And some people are very selective. And it's just frustrating for ranchers to deal with is kind of the sense that I got, because those guys would be out there kind of day after day looking at the same elk, waiting for a bigger one to appear, calling them, asking for permission. It just was a little bit of a hassle is the sense that I got.
I'm wondering what the Elk Refuge is doing to attempt to resolve this issue of an increased number of elk.
So the Elk Refuge doesn't have a lot of power over the number of elk that live in this area between Moose and Wilson. They can hunt on the refuge, but the refuge is a mixing pot of all the different herd segments. And so the short answer is there really isn't anything they can do. I mean, they can increase hunting, but that also impacts these other herd segments just as much, some of which aren't doing well. So that's not a super desirable outcome, is just to dial up the hunting.
And, you know, just to kind of circle back here, why is it important to preserve these long distance migrant elk?
You know, the biologist at the refuge, he made an interesting point to me, just that, you know, if we can't preserve those migrations here in the greater Yellowstone area, then where can we? You know, we're the largest intact ecosystem remaining south of Canada and North America.
Well, Mike, thank you for taking some time off the field to come into KHOL to talk to me about your latest story for the News and Guide this week.
No problem. Thanks so much.
That was Mike Cashmerel, the environmental reporter for the Jackson Hole News and Guide, and he was here discussing his latest story titled No Clear Answer for Elk. You can head on over to jhnewsandguide.com to read the full story. This is your community radio station, 89.1 KHOL Jackson.